While we remain seated, how many of us know this song in hymn number 164? Somebody sent me a text that we should sing it. He said he just saw it in a hymn book. And this, today I'll be talking about the bride's anointing. The bride's anointing. The bride has her own anointing. And this song is very relevant. The bride's anointing is the anointing for packing us to our husband's house. That song. Over Jordan, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Band of angels coming after me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9. Are we there? That scripture says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Let me show you. Revelation chapter 19. Come hither, and let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, 8 and 9. Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I want you to note, the angel, one of those seven angels that carry the vials that carried the plagues, and that is the seven fine angels that pour out the wrath of God. And these things take place while we are up there in glory. The earth here will be suffering all that we see happening with those seven vile angels sending judgment upon the earth just before we come back with Jesus Christ to take over for 1,000 years reigning here on earth. It's a period of serious judgment upon the earth. And that will be taking place using those vials in the hands of those angels. But notice that while that is going on, I'm sure John must have been getting worried. So all this destruction going on in the world, all this one going on, he must have been thinking, come, what of the bride? Where are they? And he said, you come up hither. And you have to come up, not go down. Because they are up somewhere. My home is beyond the sky. My home is beyond the clouds. I am a stranger here. My home is beyond the clouds. He said, come up hither, and I will show you the bride. Hallelujah. The Lamb's wife. And if he's going to say, let me show you, there is something that he will point to identify them. And what identifies them is the dress that they wore. And that dress that they wore, he, the angel, told John, what you saw, clean, white, is not just some dress that a tailor carved and sewed. It is the righteousness of the saints. So, what is the identity of the bride at any time? It's not only when they go home, the identity is from here. The bride has an identity. Touch. Something was quickened to me. The Lord was showing me something here, I think during offering or so. Hallelujah. And I shouted, Satan, you're a liar. Praise the Lord. I shouted my own day. I said, Satan, you're a liar. Let me tell you people something. Hallelujah. No man, nobody, no demon can destroy or stop or hinder any program of God. Have that as the back of your mind. I'm telling you. Listen, church, this age that we are in, and in every age, since the day of Pentecost, in fact, since the time of Seth, after Satan killed Abel, from that time till now, God has always had his people reserved on earth here that will serve him. I'm telling you. There was a time Elijah thought he was the only one. But God said, you are not the only one. There are 7,000 of Jews that have not bowed to the nonsense other Jews have bowed. There are Christians all over the world. When you look at the majority of Christians, you begin to think as if, you know, the purpose of God for going to the cross on Calvary has been defeated. But I'm telling you, there are people on earth here that have made up their mind, under any condition, they will go to heaven. And they are not making that decision because nothing is working for them. Neither are they making that decision because they are comfortable. But they are making that decision out of a revelation they have. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. There are Christians, while you think you are going to the same church with others, have this at the back of your mind, while you cannot resist sin, there are others in the same church with you that say no to sin and keep away from that sin. Just know it. So never you think that everybody else is like you. Na lie. There are people that are opposite to you, standing for the gospel. There are people that are standing for the gospel. I'm telling you. There are people that every day they are checking their lives. There are people that are so heavily conscious. So heavily conscious that they are also dead also to all the distractions in the world. They are more heavily conscious than some of you may think. Because there are people that come to this church. That was why I said, Satan, you are a liar. There are people that come to this church. They are members of this church. And there is nothing in them to reflect. That is making it look as if all this shouting, what will they call shout every day, is useless shout. Look, there are people that are hearing me and they are getting converted. I'm telling you. While you are getting worse, there are some that every day they are getting better and better. And yet, there are some that despite all this, they are fast, you know, but still, they are getting themselves involved in all the things they used to do before. So, what are you fasting for? What are you fasting for? What are you start fasting for? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This church must produce some people here that will go in the rapture. That one is certain, certain, certain. God will be unfair to me. All the sacrifices I make and all that I have tried to tell the people, and then, you know, let people go rapture from here. May I go face on that day when we get there? Because I must go to heaven. You too, you must go. If you don't want to go, don't come here. I said, don't come here. Praise the Lord. Because if you come here, I want to believe you want to go to heaven. So, all of us that preach here, we will look at you face to face and tell you the truth. We will not deceive you. Because we have no reason to deceive you. Church, the time for religion has gone. Religion. You know what is religion? Religion. Amen. You're a Christian because your papa, your mama, na Christian. You were born into a Christian family. Therefore, and since you grew up, you are na church you go. I have my daughter that is 14 months old or so. And she knows, you say, praise the Lord, she will shout, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap for Jesus, she will clap. Now, you know that is religion. Because if I were a Muslim, I say, Allahu Akbar, she would have shouted, Allahu Akbar. She would have learned that because that is where she grew up. Praise the Lord. But that's because that's her religion. If I say, I want to be lying. Then she will begin to say, I want to be lying. You know, she will to be saying it after me. Some of you here, you were born Catholic. That is, Catholic is your religion. You were born Anglican. Anglican is your religion. You know, so that one, if you feel from Christian or Muslim religion, you put there Christian. Not because you have a relationship with Christ, but because now they are the boy you. That is the generality of the Christian faith. You see? Few people will tell you, this is the reason why I am a Christian. There is a revelation I have, and there is an experience I have had that confirms that Jesus is the way. Such people, the kind of Christian life they live is different. People go to church, and Christianity has been reduced now. We are pastors go to beg people to come to church. So now, everybody now, you know, when you go to a church, you know, it's like you are doing the person a favor by going to his church. You know, and then the pastor is happy that you are coming to his church. So he's sad when you leave his church. And the pastor that gathers that kind of crowd what does he do? He makes sure he doesn't say anything that will offend anybody. He has to tell you what you want to hear. You see? Praise the Lord. But when you come here, no. We will not tell you what you want to hear. We will tell you what God wants you to hear. Praise the Lord. Everybody is saying, I'm a Christian. Listen, church. There is a mystery we need to understand. Church, there are three women in the Bible, symbolic women in the Bible. And these three women, the way they are presented, the three of them are all presented in the book of Revelation. That means they are three women that God is dealing with in the closing of the age. Three women that God is dealing with at the end of time for salvation. The first one we see is that woman that was rejected by God, Israel. But by the time we see her in the book of Revelation, we are now looking at her being restored back to God. Israel is God's first wife on earth. We see her in Revelation chapter 12. Praise the Lord. And the second woman is that harlot in Revelation chapter 17. She's described as a harlot. And the mother of harlot, that means she has children that have gone also into prostitution like her mama, their mama. And that church, with due respect to all of you who are so religious until you love your church more than you love Jesus Christ, that church there is the Catholic Church. It's there. Let's prove it. We have proved it. Listen to all our messages. We have proved it. Praise the Lord. Why did he call her a prostitute? A harlot. She refused, hallelujah, to hold on to one husband. She's holding on to Jesus. And she's holding on to idols. That's why she's the mother of all abominations of the earth. And it's a cage of every unclean bird. And it is the spiritual Babylon. Babylon means confusion. Spiritual confusion. And she came back to the Protestant churches that protested from her. They pulled her from her. But they have all gone back in practice the same way their mama is doing. That is Revelation chapter 17. Then we have Revelation also, chapter 19. The bride of Jesus Christ. The bride. He calls her the bride. She means so much to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now notice, these three women, God is dealing with them, each of them, by an anointing. He's dealing with them by an anointing. When he will be restoring Israel, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is dealing with these three women by three different anointings. Israel, praise the Lord. It is in the book of Revelation we see he, God, restoring Israel back to himself in relationship again. Remember that in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, it said blindness in part. It was not total, but it's for a time. Has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And Apostle Paul used that chapter to explain to us how that because they rejected Israel, he, God, decided to keep them one side and came to the Gentiles to get himself a bride. And after the bride has been fully collected through the seven church ages, every age has a bride for that age, they are up there, then he comes after the rapture, they are up there, then he comes back and opens their eyes again to see that Jesus, that they crucified was actually their Messiah. That's where you see that reaction in Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 13. Where they will be, you know, where did you get that scar from in your hand? You'll be showing them. He said he got them from his friends. He will do it in such a way that they will now begin to cry and weep. You mean that Jesus that came and was crucified was actually the Messiah spoken of? And he will tell them he's the one. And in one day, the whole nation shall be revived again. But he does it by an anointing in Revelation chapter 11. Through those two prophets that we see, Elijah and Moses. Praise the Lord. That is how he turned the spirit of grace again back to Israel. Using an anointing to restore them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then coming to the mother of harlots and her prostitute daughters. The denominations. He is also dealing with them in this end time by an anointing called the spirit of delusion. It is from God. What is it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you read it from verse 7 up to verse 13. What is it saying? They reject truth. Therefore he, God, give them over to a delusion to make them believe a lie. So that in believing the lie, they might be destroyed and end up in hell. How? And he gave us the example of what he did to Ahab. And Ahab, the king of Israel, refused the prophet for his day. And instead, gathered for himself 400 prophets that ate at his table. They were the ones always prophesying to him. And Elijah had prophesied to him that you went and collected the land of Naboth and killed him by the advice of that your Philistine Jezebel woman, Jezebel. You killed and you went to take possession of the land. He said, where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth. That is where the same place also dogs will lick your own blood, lick the blood of that woman, Jezebel. And that curse was laid by God himself because it was thus said the Lord. And he went away. But time passed and it looked as if that prophecy will not come to pass. And this same age that we are in now is the worst age of all the seven church ages. And when Abraham gave the prophecy, thus said the Lord, Ichabod is written against the denomination. That the glory has departed. And because they don't know what the glory of God is, they are still continuing the anointing. People are falling under anointing and rising under anointing. People are giving testimonies. Miracles, signs and wonders are going on. But the prophet said, the glory has departed. Therefore, what is the glory of God? So you should find out, the glory of God is not people falling under anointing. The glory of God is more than that. Praise the Lord. When the glory of God is around, the glory of God does not come to entertain people. God does not come down to entertain people. I have said it before. That when God heals you, listen, church. Because people have missed this thing. See, you are sick. You are sick. And God comes and heals you. He doesn't tell you you are a sinner. He doesn't even tell you the reason why that sickness comes. But just a man of God will lay a hand on you. Sometimes nobody, you are just praying. And then the sickness will go. Oh, praise the Lord. This sickness, they say it's HIV, it's incurable. They see now, I am cured by God. He did not touch your sin, the reason why that HIV came upon you. He did not touch anything. He did not touch the life that you live. He did not touch the numerous girlfriends that you have. The pure palace that know you. The thief where you thief your master money. Even including the time you are looking for healing, you thief his money to go for offering to see prophet. He didn't say that one. And yet, he comes and heals you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then people are saying, you see, a young man came here, one sister here told us the story that her husband was a fornicator, womanizer, he begged and begged and make him come church. And he knows that if he comes, maybe one prophet will pick him. The man came here on our Tuesday program. The prophets were flying, they were picking people, giving revelation, and nobody picked him. So when he got home, he told the wife, "Now you dey worry about my life. Even God doesn't care." Did you say you complain every day? I'm a womanizer, Okay, if the thing is sin, why God not pick me for that church today? Praise the Lord. What is the glory of God? It's not the healing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can look, the mercy of God is different from the glory of God. The mercy of God is different from the glory of God. Nobody experiences the glory of God and remains the same. If it is the glory of God that has touched you, not just his mercy, after that healing, he will pierce through that healing experience you receive and touch your heart and begin to arouse questions. Who is this that healed me? What doctors could not cure? I just prayed in Jesus' name. Something touched me. I went and tested. HIV is gone. Or cancer is gone. Huh? Who is this God? It is only one who has experienced the glory that can reason up to that level. And that is what leads to salvation. But he said the Ichabod is written against the denomination. Ichabod. And yet, come and see. And because you don't know the meaning of the glory of God. Hey, Ahab, for how long? Many years. I didn't see that prophet talk. Cannot come to pass. If not, why didn't these 400 prophets repeat it? I'm talking about the spirit of delusion. That will make you believe a lie. And we know the story, not to waste time on that. And how that in your fallen estate, you are going for a battle to conquer a land in Ramoth Gilead. And every battle before you go in Israel, you must inquire of the Lord whether you should go or not. And he went to inquire of the Lord, and God said, the time to activate the word that I spoke through my servant Elijah has come. A sinner wants to go for battle. A death sentence is upon you, and you want to go for battle. Thank God. The period has come. And God immediately said, this man wants to go for battle. Ah, how? He called a meeting in heaven. What shall we do so that this man will go to this battle and die? How are we going to do it all so that he will not change his mind? So that he will go confidently, walk confidently into his death. And there was a meeting. And this one brought this suggestion. And he that goeth to and fro saw a meeting going on and came. I got waiting at the talk. I have idea. I will anoint those 400 prophets to prophesy that he will win. So that in believing them, he will go for that battle and be killed there. He said, that is a good idea. Oh yeah, carry on that ministry. There are people that have the ministry to lead people to death. When you tell a sinner that is living a sinful life that he is going to heaven tomorrow, you are leading him to hell. When you meet a cocaine pusher, he said, just build this church building. God will be pleased with you. And God will see how you use the cocaine money and build this church. And then he will just take you straight to heaven. You are leading him to hell. When you meet a prostitute, that our God is a good God. Don't mind it. It is not what is outside. It is what is in the heart. You just go ahead. He's a merciful God. It's grace. Just make sure you pay your tithe and offering. He is leading you to hell. That is their ministry. And there are many on earth today. Why? And he went to 400 of them and began to anoint them. They were seeing vision as they used to see before.
They were so sure. They were speaking in tongues. Ahab, king, long live, O king. Teremama sotos, said the Lord. Ramogilia belong to us. If you go, you don't come back. I'll pull down my mantle. What was it all about? That is the spirit of delusion. To make Ahab believe that lie, act on it, and go and be destroyed. That is the same anointing of delusion that is going on in the denominational churches today. That is how he's dealing with the second woman in Revelation chapter 17 and the daughters. The anointing. That's why I told you, I said, stop saying that the anointing that operating is of the devil, is of God. It's the one that is anointing those false vessels. The power, the anointing, the gift is genuinely from God, but the vessel is a false vessel. And what will a false vessel tell you? It doesn't matter. God is saying it matters. A prophet is saying it doesn't matter. A pastor is saying it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A spirit of delusion. And that is the one that is difficult for the church world to understand today. You look at yourself. Do you know God? The Bible says without holiness, no man can see God. Are you living a holy life? And what is holiness? It's a life pleasing before God. It's a life that is dictated by this question. Where I am going now, will Jesus go there? What I'm doing now, if Jesus were here, will he do it? If you see me, you see the Lord Jesus. So what is holiness? It's a life pleasing before God. It's true now. You go and enter beer parlor and sit down. Will Jesus enter beer parlor and drink beer? Eh? Will Jesus fornicate? Will Jesus fornicate? Praise the Lord. He was hanging on the cross and his enemies were finishing him. And he had the power to smite all of them. Leprous, blind, crippled, paralyzed all of them. But instead of doing that, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. But your own case, Oko, you have the names of people you have written, you have even put it inside your Bible. Till Jesus come, I will not forgive you. You're a Christian, Abby? You're a Christian. Worst of all is a married man will leave his wife at home and go and get other women outside. And on Sunday, carry Bible, not even Sunday, in the night, come home and carry family. Say, let us pray. Oh. Let us pray. Family. Let's do family prayer. And you carry Bible and you open it. Who are you deceiving? You're a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. Whether Satan like it or not, that heaven, I must go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And before you know what, amen. Ahab had 400. They say in the mouth of two or three. His own. 400 saying go. And they are always on the majority. The false ministers are always on the majority. Always on the majority. But there was one Micaiah, only him. Only him. One. One versus 400. So that you are many is not evidence that God is with you. Amen. Amen. And what happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He came and gave the correct interpretation. Hey! Mokuna no go! I see Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. God is saying you should not go. Everybody go back to your tents. And one of those 400, I'm sure he's the leader of, he's the president of the Christian Association of that time. Because he is the mouthpiece for all the prophets at that time. When he speaks, all the believers have spoken. He stood up. I think his name is Ananias. Is that Ananias also? He stood up and went to Micaiah, slapped him. So you can see where the spirit of slapping people came from. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. That bishop, presiding bishop, that one woman that was possessed was, he slapped, I think he slapped up to 3 times or so. That one, small girl, slap her. Do you know who you are talking to? Towers. So you know where that spirit came from. It's only a deluded person that can do that. It's only one who is just in the flesh that will do that. Because it's a spirit of pride. Those of us who do deliverance, we hear worse than that. We hear worse than that. And we're not looking at the person, but we're looking at the spirit that is talking. And there is no slap I can slap you that the demon can leave you. Praise the Lord. Slap and say, where did the spirit leave me to come and talk to you? You. Who know you? Amen. What's your title? What will be your title? Me, I am Reverend Dr. Professor Ak Senior Bishop. And you know what happened? Praise the Lord. Ahab now came and said, catch him, bite him, and put him in the innermost prison till we come back from the battle. And he told him, said, that is if you come back alive. Can't you see, amen, that when you are standing on truth, it gives you boldness? Why am I bold to speak the way I speak? Because I know where I am standing. I'm standing on truth. The rock of truth. Truth is where I am standing upon. It gives me boldness because I know you can't fault me. I am on air every day. And nobody has come to say, you preach this, this is wrong. None. The only thing they will tell you is that, why are you always criticizing? Why will I not criticize? Are you doing the correct thing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he's using the spirit of delusion to deal with them so that in believing that lie that are spoken by their pastors, they refuse truth. They reject truth. That's what that scripture says. Therefore, he, God, gives them over to a delusion to believe a lie. In believing that lie, they may be destroyed because they have no love for truth. And everyone that has no love for truth, you must accept lies. You have no option. Concerning holiness, there is the truth of holiness and there is the lie of holiness. There is a way, the truth about the way that a Christian man and woman should dress. There's an identity of a believer in every age. And there is a lie of how you should appear. If you reject the truth, you must accept the lie and dress and walk according to the dictates of that lie. That's what we continue to do here. That is the anointing for that other one. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Welcome to the Bright Voice. The
Bright. My Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. Worship
you. Because you love me so. You alone.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
And then we now have the third woman. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The bride, the bride, the bride of Jesus Christ. And the bride is a woman that is espoused to be married after the bride price has been paid. When the bride price has been paid, now you are the bride, waiting for the day that the husband will come and carry you home. I am talking about the proper setting. Because there are some people that are already living with a man before the man goes and pays dowry. You know, if I give you that picture, you will never understand salvation. If you use that picture of marriage, that is why there is a proper marriage and there is an improper marriage. No man has a right to keep you at home until he has paid your bride price. And if there is anyone that has made that mistake, you are now hearing the truth. Go and pay. But I'm looking at the proper situation. You are a bride because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid our bride price. What did he use in paying the bride price? His blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for you to understand that he, God, also deals with us by an anointing. The bride also has an anointing that he's dealing with us. I use two women, for instance, in the Bible. The first one is Rebecca. We all know the story of Rebecca. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Abraham sent, that is in Genesis chapter 24. Abraham sent his servant Eliezer. Everything there has something to do with the church. Stipend the church to make us understand a mystery. He, this great God, the great encoder of the mystery of salvation, he encoded that mystery and make sure him in the spiritual when he will be coming up in the New Testament. And so Abraham is type of God the Father. Isaac is type of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the only begotten of Son, the Son of promise. Hallelujah. And he had a servant at home there, Eliezer. And Eliezer is a type of the seven-star messengers for every age. And he sent him to go to a specific place to pick a bride for his son, Isaac. And made him to swear that he will bring only that which he has asked him. Go only there where he has asked him to go. And bring that bride. I want you to note, Rebecca, I want you to note that Eliezer, when he went, he did not go empty-handed. He went with 10 camels to carry only one bride. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that on the journey when you are coming, if one misbehaves, another one they are to carry on the journey. Why? She must not suffer. That is the meaning of grace. Hallelujah. The power that we have, that will pack us from earth to glory, is not by our effort. It's by his grace, the indwelling spirit. Those camels signifies the power of the Holy Ghost that will pack us from earth to glory. And he got there. He went there with precious gifts. You don't take a woman without dropping something. He went with it. Now, the emphasis there that I want you to note is something that you have to understand. The emphasis about the choosing of that bride, Rebecca, the emphasis, what Eliezer was looking out for, was character. I've said this several times to our single brothers and sisters. Character. Character. It was not a vision he saw. Eliezer landed in a strange land and said, now, see women nyafu for this town. How will I know the one that you have ordained for my master's son? He only gave a sign. The sign was the sign that of a character. The first woman that will come out to fetch water that I will see and ask, give me water to drink. And she will say, not only for you, but even your own 10 camels, I will draw water and give them. Water that a young girl will draw from a deep well to give camel who will drink, finish, come put for that reservoir there. You know that it means going to take her hours. It's not to turn tap water. It's drawing it from a deep well in the desert. They're very deep. Imagine her hands will peel. She didn't look at it. And immediately, he finished praying. He saw one, the predestinated seed. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the predestinated seed. If not, why is she the one that first come? And that predestinated seed came singing and rejoicing. Hallelujah. My heart shall sing when I pause to remember, because she's carrying load. They go fetch water from the desert into the town. A heartache here is but a stepping stone. Was it not a stepping stone? Along the trail that's winding always upward, this troubled world is not my final. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, we join. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mood that somebody meets you determines your reaction when you meet with that person. It's true. I received a text yesterday from a friend of mine, a general in the Air Force. He said, there are two things that you must not forget. He said, God and death. He said, there are two things that you must forget. He said, those you have done favor for, and those that have offended you. He said, you must forget about it. And I meditated on it. Praise the Lord. And I saw that that is true about life. And that girl must have been meditating. And from the look of this, that she only should be a girl for that house. All of them are boys. So all the wahala of that house, that she they do, and that she they fetch all the water, when they bath, that she they fetch all the water. But here was she coming and singing and not with a bony face. If she were coming with a bony face, and that old man, they talk, they say, wait, the one my papa gave me for, I said, don't look at that. Praise the Lord. Maybe she was singing eternal, eternal. You know, there is a way you suffer. So you don't notice, say, I don't get hope here. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul.
I want to live eternal life. God save my soul.
And exactly as Eliezer spoke. Not only you now, even all your 10 camels. And Eliezer said, Haba, that's what God answered prayer. Can this be the one? And we know the remaining story. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to note something about Rebecca. From this, you can see that she was specially selected. The bride of Jesus Christ is not selected anyhow. It's not anyhow, that we just enter and go. Lila, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when it was time to go, the parents called Rebecca, will you follow this man to an unknown destination, to an unknown man, to an unknown place? And immediately she said, I will go. True, true, she don't suffer too much for the house. The way she answered, if you read that scripture, you don't see it. They asked immediately, before they finish, they said, I will go. But then, let's look at it again properly. Remember, there was communication going on between that girl and Eliezer. Eliezer must have told her something about that man, Isaac, that made her heart to be so much there until she was ready to leave her parents, leave her roots, leave her culture, leave her tradition, leave everything. Her mind is there. Will you go? Yes, I will go. Hallelujah. And they left. Between that place, I don't know how many days journey it must have taken, up to where Isaac was and Abraham, it took some days. On the way, what was Eliezer telling Rebecca? Certainly, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Certainly, all he was telling her, the kind of food that man likes, the way you will behave, the tradition over there, certain things you should put on, certain things you put on over there, their women before their husbands, they veil themselves. Eh? Is that what happened? Yes. Suddenly they arrived. From far he saw a young man there that came out. Which time these people go arrive with my wife now? And then she asked, who is that man I'm seeing far there? Amen. What did he say? He said, that is your husband. And the Bible said, immediately, what did she do? She veiled herself and covered herself. The bride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there's something about your dressing before the bride, the bridegroom. There's something about your appearance before the bridegroom. What does that veil, what does it signify? It's humility. It's subjection. Humility. Subjection. Yes. And anyone that has received the Holy Ghost, our identity is an identity of humility. The bride's anointing is the identification of the bride. Anointing that identifies you. Church, it is more than shaking. The anointing that we have is not anointing that throw you on the ground, you fall down. Everybody is falling down the anointing. Why? Rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Bible says so. Matthew chapter 5. The rain that fall, and that rain, blessed be the name of the Lord, is the Holy Ghost. But there is the latter rain. And the former rain, Joel chapter 2 says so. The rain that restores, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Read it up to verse 32. It's talking about the rain. And the rain here is speaking about the anointing. And the latter rain is the harvesting rain. When that rain falls, it is time for harvest. It is not the planting rain. That's why there is the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain, it fell on the day of Pentecost. That is the former rain. And it is the planting rain. When the gospel came down, the revival started from the day of Pentecost, the anointing that was released was not the harvesting rain. That's why there's been no rapture yet. It is the planting rain. That's why the gospel at that time is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Stop this, stop that. He's for you. He went to the cross on Calvary. Hallelujah. That is the gospel that Deeper Life specializes in. And I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The evangelicals go up north in Nigeria, Ekwa, Ekan, Cocaine and the rest. They're all evangelical churches. Even Anglican. All of them. For God so loved the world. They're going to the region of the lost. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. But that comes under. Hallelujah. Under the latter and the former rain. And that's why now you cannot come and plant when you should be harvesting. That's why all that gospel has no effect again. With all due respect to all your efforts, you are doing it without revelation. William Branham preached a message that he titled Doing God a Service Without It Being His Will. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, he said we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being what? I've explained this scripture several times. It's the chief cornerstone. In the building of the spiritual church, it is not a one wall. No, there are corners. And when it is time to shift to another corner, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He will tell you where next to begin to build. So, if he said bend, and you see they go straight, you are doing God a service without his will. And now is the time for the latter rain. It is the harvesting rain. The anointing that is falling now is different from the anointing that fell on the day of Pentecost. Catch it. Until you catch that, you will not understand what the bright anointing is all about. And all the bright anointing, hallelujah, all the anointing you are seeing among the Pentecost and everything, yes, it is the rain falling. But the difference is that this anointing that is released now for the bride of Jesus Christ is an anointing that opens our eyes of revelation. It is an anointing that pulls us to know the move of the Antichrist. That's why we left our denominations. If you are receiving that anointing, you are seeing your denomination, then you know where you belong. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The anointing that falls, it falls on your spirit, but it must pierce through to your soul. Receive the Holy Ghost must come down. And everyone, the just and the unjust, they will all fall down. Manifestation, fire, everything. But it is only the bride that the thing will pierce through to the soul. That after that anointing, you begin to be sin conscious. After that, you begin to love Bible study. After that, you begin to love fellowship. After that, you fall in love with God in a special way. And after that, you have a special fear of God. There is a true repentance that comes upon you. There is also a joy that nothing on earth here can bring to you. Can compare. You are happy. Why? There is an anchor you receive. Praise the Lord. So the anointing we receive now is the anointing that will lead you to all truth. The anointing that opens your eyes of revelation. It's anointing that establishes you. And it is with Eliezer. Without Eliezer, Rebecca will never meet Isaac. Seven-star messengers. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. Seven of them, each one for every age. That is through where the anointing has been released. It's through that ministry. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this is the seventh church age, with the seventh star messenger. And that is through the ministry of William Branham. There's an anointing that was released. But I want you to know that that anointing also fell on the just and the unjust. And they are all carrying the coats of William Branham. So, do we know them? By the number of seven books of William Branham? No. By the number of quotes of the prophet? No. By their fruits, you shall know them. It's by your fruits. A true revelation produces a better Christian character. If you left your denomination and came here, the difference must not just be that now you know water baptism is in the name of Jesus. Antichrist is coming from Rome. Woman preacher is contrary to the Bible. Don't wear a ring. Don't wear jewelry, sister. Don't wear trouser. Yes. Thank God for that revelation. But your Christian life now also must be better than how you were in your former church. That's the evidence that it's a revelation you are following, that you have received something. If not, you are only an intellectualist, an intellectual person moving up and down, and you have added more knowledge to the grammar you used to have before, and it does not affect your soul. No, the bride's anointing. And that is why we speak the way we speak. That is why we talk the way we talk. That is the emphasis, your identity, the life that you live. Esther was another example. Why was Esther qualified above other maidens? Remember, there were maidens. For those hearing me for the first time, the book of Esther is talking about the church. Ahasuerus had a queen, Vashti. She made younger for him when it was time for him to present her in that feast. And he had to be put away, she had to be put away for a replacement to be made. And Vashti is Israel. King Ahasuerus is the Lord God Almighty. Israel has always been his queen on earth. He came with salvation to them, they rejected it when he gave them Jesus Christ. And the king therefore said they should go and get a queen that will replace Vashti. And they went to town to the maiden. Always know that a woman in the Bible signifies a church. A church is reflected as a woman. So if he said they should gather the maidens, it means you cannot understand why God allowed the church to go into the denominational fragments that we are in today. And those meetings all represent one denomination or the other. They all went out. What are you going for? To see who is qualified to replace Vashti. All of them, every denomination is a maiden waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed says they are the ones that will make the rapture. Catholic say, now we. Everyone, Christ Embassy say, now we. Select say, now we. Everyone choosing say, heaven at last. Every one of us, Pride Assembly, we too, now we be that. Yes, you have to understand Bible. I'm telling you, these are deep things of salvation. That when you get to know, you just begin to thank God for where you are so far. Amen. Every church, while you come to collect your people, remember me, oh Lord. Remember me, oh Lord. Hallelujah. I will see Jesus. See, Christ embassies have been singing that song past you. See the sisters half naked. I will see Jesus someday. Sometime. Where will you see him? You will see him on judgment day. Certainly, not for the rapture. But watch it. The king always has chamberlains that specialize in preparing the queen for the king. And they are eunuchs. That's their qualification. They don't have the ability to transfer their own seed to the woman they are preparing for the king. It is only thus said the Lord, they know. Seven of them, speaking of the seven church ages and the seven star messengers. Every age There is a messenger of God to get the bride for that age. Now notice what qualified Esther is exactly what will qualify every one of us in this age for the rapture. What was the qualification? Is that the difference was clear. When it came to the turn, now they have the period for the preparation is over. Now, one by one, present yourself before the king. Every church will come and stand one day. Now, maybe this. One church will come and stand in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace. Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. Stand here. They wait for me. Next. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then Sele will wear white garment and come. And stand there. Angel Jagu. Angel Jagura. Holy Michael. And the king says, stand this side. Praise the Lord. And Christ Embassy. It doesn't matter. God is a good God. I can see how they were dressed that day. Amen. I know if he sees my cause, he will like me. If I dress and leave part of my breast open, it will fall. Yes. And the Pentecostals come speaking in tongues that their pastors taught them. Here mama horo tata. Here mama toro tata 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 tata. And God will look at the mad person talking. Stay inside. I'm speaking Bible, oh. It's Bible, I'm breaking down like this, oh. He said a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but that they will heap to themselves teachers with what? Itching ears. And this is the time. And the Bible says that when it was time for those maidens to go, he said, they are the ones that told the chamberlain, this is how I want to dress. And the thing they want is what the chamberlain gave them. And then they went. But they were rejected. But there was one that was accepted. And that story is left there as an example for all of us. When it came to the turn of Esther, the Bible says that Esther did not require anything but whatsoever that chamberlain gave him. Now in dress. It is only stupid of you. This man is trained by the king. He knows what the king likes and what the king does not like. You don't know anything. Why not listen to him? He sent him to prepare you for him. And then instead of you to listen to him, no, you want it your own way. This age, they rejected the ministry of William Branham, the chamberlain for this age. And they chose to go the way they were going. But there's a group of people. How many of them are here now? How many of them are here now? Hallelujah. 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 You will hear enter message believers, followers of William Branham. They make this statement. I will check from the Bible and from the message. That's their language. He said, I will confirm from the Bible and from the message. That is, concerning that matter, what did the prophet say? He said, thus said the Lord, a man that was vindicated to the level that no man has ever been vindicated in this age. He said 200,000 prophecies and visions. He said, you tell me one that has failed. Miracles in a realm that no one has reached up to this moment. And he's telling you, thus said the Lord to my daughters. The Spirit of God said, you in this age, don't wear trousers. Another man come and say, it doesn't matter. And you cannot see the difference between Micaiah and the other 400 prophets. You see? He said, drop those jewelries. This is how we will dress in this age. But let me tell you something. No matter what the prophet say, no matter how he scream, unless you receive the anointing that came with that message,
And that anointing is called the bride anointing. They are the only ones that can hear and obey. It is the bride's anointing. While from Wednesday this week, people who have seen the advert of this program, many will come to receive power so that they can have a meal ticket. I'm going to set up ministries to have food to eat. Some are coming here to recharge themselves because they know what that gift can do for them. There's another group, the bride, that is coming to tell the Lord, Lord, not only the anointing, pierce through to my soul. Anchor. Do something. Remember, if you don't have that anointing, you cannot be positioned to hear the seven thunders. It's so important. Church, it's so important. It's so important. It's so important. The deep calling, there's a deep to respond. Hallelujah. We spoke about the third pool. What will pull you is this bride's anointing we're talking about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an anointing that causes an awakening. That keeps you on expectation. It's an anointing that keeps you in expectation. That was why the wise ones trimmed their lamps of revelation. The wise virgins. It is a time where something happens to you and you become more heavenly minded than earthly minded. It's true. That is what is demonstrated by Daniel. When suddenly he discovered that remaining 2 more years out of the 70 years that was prophesied for them to be in Babylonian captivity, he discovered they had spent 68 years. So remaining 2 years. Imagine how he knows that after these 2 years I am going back. I will be free from Babylon. That is the kind of faith that anointing does. It reveals how close Christ is to us. Through the messages we preach here, we begin to see that through, any time from now, anything can begin to happen. You see? As soon as the Jews knew in Egypt, that there was a Moses that came, imagine the expectation that their bondage will be over. They will soon leave Egypt. There is an expectation. There's an expectation that puts them in such a way that if one Egyptian man comes to meet one Israeli woman and say, I want to marry you and take all these millions. I want to marry you. She will remember that I will soon leave Egypt. How can I marry you? That is what you determine who you should even get yoked with. It's not every man that comes to you that you will accept to marry. When you see a sister like that, saying that, well, she told her husband, you can go if you will not go to bride today. Now, it is wrong for you to disobey your husband until you are fighting every time at home. But a time comes also where you take your stand and sing at home, if you won't go. You see now, see, she got her deliverance today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of anointing that gives you rapturing faith. You are in expectation and you can never receive anything that you are not expecting. It is only that you are expecting that you receive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the latter end we are talking about. The righteousness of the saints is our identity. The bride anointing, therefore, it is the anointing that teaches, like I've spoken. It gives revelation. It opens your eyes of understanding and it leads you to all truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says so. And the bride's anointing is the eagle anointing. That flying eagle. In Revelation chapter 4, it is the anointing to counter the spirit of deceit, and it is the anointing that gives us boldness. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I repeat, as I said earlier, that it is anointing that prepares you or positions you to hear the soon sounding thunders. The bright anointing, therefore, is the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost that leads to salvation. Not just leads to miracles, signs and wonders, and seeing vision and prophesying. No, it leads you to salvation, because Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. It seals you to the day of redemption, the day of salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Always remember that it is not all that say, Lord, 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 that we enter. So it's not just the anointing, it goes beyond that. It's not just the gift, it goes beyond that. It's not how long you pray, it goes beyond that. Always remember, he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22 verse 14 says so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And because few are chosen, he said, told us in Luke chapter 13, if you read it from verse 22 up to verse 30, where he tells us, strive to enter. Strive to enter. Strive to enter. So, it's a thing that Apostle Paul, when he said, Peter, I said, be diligent. Be diligent there. Give all diligence. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. And in Psalm 42 verse 1, this is the way the psalmist puts it. He said, as the hart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? He said, as the hart panted after the water brooks, strive. What does he mean by that? I told you this before. That animal, the characteristic of that animal, why the psalmist use it to show how he is thirsting for God. Because when the hunter shoots that animal and blood is coming out, he knows he will die any moment from now. But he has a characteristic there in nature that once he can get water and drink, the blood will stop and he will live. So once you shoot him, he's not standing to look at the wound. He's not standing to grumble at what is happening. Why should you shoot me? Why are you hunter? Why did you shoot me? He will receive another shot. What does he do? He start to run. He start to run. If you call and you want greeter, will he answer you? Why? It's a run for life. Once I can get water. He's looking for the nearest water around. Once he lands there and drinks that water, he is saved. And that is the attitude we should approach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Knowing that your escape from the destruction that is coming upon this world depends on the receipt of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. While others are coming to receive an anointing, you are coming to receive life. You are coming to receive something that will pack you away, a power that will pack you away from earth to glory. And when that power comes upon you, it dresses you, your character, your appearance, your attitude towards God and the things of God. You are filled with love. There's brotherly love all around you. There's a joy all around you. There's something that stands you out. And he said, that is the righteousness of the saints. In the spirit, you are dressed in white. And not just ordinary white, fine linen. It's a qualified one. Because it is not an ordinary one. You acquired that linen by the things you went through while on earth here. It is only the bride that suffers persecution. It's only the bride that your faith will continually be tested. The devil will never allow us to rest. But there is the reward for the overcomers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He that overcome, he said, he'll make you to sit
with him on his throne, as he too overcame, and is seated with the Father on his throne. And the throne of Jesus Christ is the 1,000 years reign on earth here. You sit with him here and reign on earth here with him. That is the bride's anointing. It's an anointing that makes you to be careful with the things of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the assurance that I have that if I pray, he will answer me. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's the bride's anointing. Make sure you don't miss any of these nights. And don't say, I already have the Holy Ghost, so no need. That is evidence you have not received. That's evidence you have not received. Because William Branham told us, when he was replying somebody, a preacher came in a meeting. That William Branham was there too, among those at the altar, sitting at the altar as a visiting minister. And after the minister preached, he asked for those who want to receive the Holy Ghost, come to the altar. William Branham jumped from the altar. He was the first that knelt down and raised his hand. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. And after the service, somebody went and met him and said, Brother Branham, why did you do that? We all know you have the Holy Ghost. And William Branham asked him, so you didn't go to the altar? He said that if you truly have the Holy Ghost, say, you have God in you. Say, you cannot have enough of him. The evidence that you receive the Holy Ghost is that you want him more and more and more and more. And you don't want him because you suddenly discover you are carnal. No. There is a hunger. You need more, 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 more of God. I have been preaching this gospel since the past 14 years as a pastor. But every day I carry this Bible, I am knowing something again. New, 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 new. You can't finish knowing him. I hope you know what the Holy Ghost is. It's a measure of the Spirit of God in you. You see, would you have want to have a bigger measure always? The more of him you have, the more like him you will become. Hallelujah. The more of him you have, the more like him you will become. That's why every day I need you more, 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 more of you. Can we stand up? Can we stand up? Let's sing one song. 236. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be or no. 236. It's a question for every one of us to answer. Thank you.
He shall call us one by one. When to the Lord we restore our love, will He answer me?
You go home. Blessed be the name of the Lord.